Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton and Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump are expected to win almost all of the primary elections and caucuses set for Tuesday. If they do, Clinton and Trump will greatly increase their lead of delegates and likely become their party's nominees. Saturday, Clinton received about 75% of the votes in the South Carolina primary election. She received strong support from African American voters in South Carolina. This could help her on Tuesday, when voters in the states of Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, and Virginia decide who they will support. These states have large numbers of African Americans. Public opinion studies show Trump has more support than other candidates in many of the so-called Super Tuesday states. This week, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie began campaigning for Trump. Until recently, Christie was a presidential candidate. Super Tuesday is the most important day of the presidential campaign. The person who wins the most elections on that day almost always becomes the nominee of their political party. Recently, a young boy was sentenced to life in prison in Egypt by mistake. Jim Dressback has the story.
The Egyptian military admitted last week it made a mistake when sentencing a 4-year-old boy to prison for life. A mistaken identity and confusion inside the Egyptian court system led to the error. A 16-year-old boy was to be sentenced for the murder. But a 4-year-old was sentenced because he had a similar name. Ahmed Mansour Karani Ali was wrongly convicted for playing a part in a Muslim Brotherhood riot in 2014. Ali's lawyer provided documents which proved Ali was 1 year old at the time. The teenager the military meant to convict was Ahmed Mansour Karani Sherera. Fox News reported that the military has not announced what the next steps will be for the child and his family since the error was admitted. The conviction of a 4-year-old child for the crime of murder is the latest embarrassment for the Egyptian court. The court has been accused of secrecy and too many arrests of citizens. More than 40,000 people have been imprisoned in Egypt during the past 2 years, the BBC reported. I'm Jim Dressback.
A new report from the World Economic Council and Ellen MacArthur Foundation warns that there will be more plastic than fish in the world's oceans by 2050 unless more recycling takes place. Mario Ritter has more.
If the current trend continues, the report said, oceans will contain 1 ton of plastic for every 3 tons of fish in 2025. By 2050, plastics will weigh more than fish, the report said. The problem is that each year, at least 8 million tons of plastic end up in oceans around the world. The report said this is the same as dumping the contents of one garbage truck into the ocean every minute. Not all plastic ends up in the ocean because someone throws a plastic bottle into the water. Plastic containers and other trash thrown onto streets and sidewalks often are swept into oceans. The debris travels from storm drains during rainstorms, said the environmental group Marine Defenders. Some end up in gyres. A gyre is a big whirlpool that traps and moves the plastic in circles. Unlike other types of trash in the ocean, the plastic never biodegrades. That means it does not break down. There is a way to slow the amount of plastics going into the oceans. People can recycle more. That is a major recommendation of the report by the World Economic Forum and Ellen MacArthur Foundation. The report's authors say that currently only about 14% of plastics are recycled. It said research in Europe shows as much as 53% of plastic could be recycled using available technology. The report says that another solution is using less plastic for packaging products. But that is not likely to happen, the report's authors say. Given plastic packaging's many benefits, both the likelihood and desirability of an across-the-board drastic reduction in the volume of plastic packaging used is clearly low, the report said. But the authors note reducing the use of plastics should be tried where possible. For decades, scientists warned that plastics are killing fish. The Natural Resources Defense Council said research shows that fish are dying from choking after eating plastics. Another cause of death is that plastics cause intestinal blockage and starvation, the environmental group said. I'm Mario Ritter.
Next, Anne Ball brings us a history lesson about American businesswoman Madam C.J. Walker.
Hers is a rags-to-riches story. Madam C.J. Walker went from poverty, being the daughter of freed slaves, to being a wealthy African-American businesswoman. She was a millionaire at a time when African-American women usually cleaned houses or worked other jobs for low pay. Madam C.J. Walker made her money making and selling cosmetics to African-American women. Her great-great-granddaughter, Alelia Bundles, researched and wrote a book about her, On Her Own Ground, The Life and Times of Madam C.J. Walker.
Madam Walker, for me, was a woman who embodied the great American dream, a person who had an idea and she parlayed it into a fortune. But more important, she used that fortune and she used her influence to try to make a difference in her community.
Walker made her fortune developing and creating hair care products for African American women. Bundles says no one else was filling that demand. So, she says, Walker took a very small idea and turned it into a big company. She was the first child in her family born into freedom in 1867 in Delta, Louisiana. Her parents had been slaves, but gained their freedom in 1865. They named her Sarah Breedlove. Sadly, Walker was orphaned at 7 years old. She married at 14, but her husband died when she was 20. In 1888, she moved north to St. Paul, Minnesota. There, she worked as a poor washerwoman, cleaning other people's clothes. Bundles says it was where Walker learned some of her marketing skills and developed her drive to succeed. She learned from women at church. They were involved in the National Association of Colored Women, and Walker learned about organizing and holding meetings, about gathering women to work together for a common cause.
She had to survive as a washerwoman, so she had to be good at marketing her skills even then. But she took that to the next level of marketing her products. She traveled all over the United States. After she married her third husband, Charles Joseph Walker, they were in Denver, and then they traveled throughout the southern and eastern United States.
Like other early cosmetic businesswomen, Elizabeth Arden and Helena Rubinstein, Bundle says Madam Walker embellished her stories about her products.
Well, everybody said they had a secret formula that no one else could see, but it was a really basic system of a vegetable shampoo and an ointment with sulfur.
Alelia Bundles grew up using Madam C.J. Walker's silverware on her dining room table, but she never knew her. She has studied her great-great-grandmother for more than four decades. She says Madam Walker was a marketing and distribution genius.
I have to say I'm continuously amazed, not only at the way that she can still inspire others, but at some of her really innovative approaches to advertising, to marketing, to developing products, and to having really high standards about the quality of her products.
Madam Walker knew how to get the word out about her products. She would advertise in the newspapers that African Americans read. She had cards printed with her information on them. At a time without airplanes, telephones, or the internet, she traveled across the country and spread the word of her company. In each town they visited, she and her husband went to both the Black churches, the Baptist and the AME, or African Methodist Episcopal churches. That way, she could speak with all the women in the different churches. She used before and after pictures in ads to show how well her products worked, something still done by companies today. She also employed women at the top levels of her business. That was also rare then. Walker gave women power at a time when women could not even vote in the U.S. But her factory manager, her national sales manager, and her bookkeeper were all women.
So she had a much bigger vision than just selling hair products. It was empowering women. It was helping them to understand their role in the community as leaders.
And lead she did. She organized and trained women to sell her products. She had her first conference for her saleswomen in 1917. That management practice became well known decades later by a cosmetic businesswoman named Mary Kay Ash. But Mary Kay did not start her company until 1963. When Walker held her sales conferences, she gave out prizes, not just to women who sold the most. She also rewarded those who gave to charity and were involved in political causes, Bundle says. her sales agents discussed making money for buying real estate and educating their children, as well as giving to charity. By the time Walker died on May 25, 1919, she had trained thousands of women in the Walker system of hair culture. She left tens of thousands of dollars to charitable organizations, educational institutions, and political causes. Bundle says Walker was a workaholic who was driven to succeed. When asked about the secret of her success, Walker herself said, "Whatever success I have attained has been the result of much hard work and many sleepless nights." But she also had a sense of humor, and she loved art and music. She liked the old and the new, opera and the new ragtime music coming out at that time. Walker owned three automobiles in 1913, when less than 10% of licensed drivers were women. She even shipped one of them, along with her personal driver, when she took a business trip to Central America and the Caribbean. With her fortune, Walker supported both the arts and political groups. She worked hard to end lynching. Lynching is when a mob, usually a group of white people, would kill an African-American person by hanging or setting them on fire for a made-up crime they did not commit. The Equal Justice Initiative says that nearly 4,000 African-Americans were killed by lynching in the U.S. between 1877 and 1950. Walker's company still survives to this day, but it is owned by a different company, Sundial Brands. Last Tuesday, the company announced it will start selling a new line of Madam C.J. Walker hair care products. Beginning in March, they will be available at Sephora stores in the U.S. They have new ingredients, but the company says the products carry on Walker's spirit. Richelieu Dennis is CEO of Sundial Brands. He said, "These products continue Madam C.J. Walker's legacy to help every woman feel sure of herself. It's also a dream come true, not just for us, but for the millions of women who have been touched by the legacy of Madam C.J. Walker and the millions more who will be inspired to reach their own levels of greatness by hearing her story." Madam Walker absolutely was a woman ahead of her time, says her great-great-granddaughter. She was a rich and successful businesswoman when women, especially African American women, could not get high-paying jobs. And she made the hair care products not just to build her own fortune, but also to use that money to help her community. I'm Ann Ball.
Leap year occurs every 4 years. Less than 1% of people are born on February 29th. Dan Friedel spoke with four people who celebrate their birthdays this year on that day. Here are their stories.
Tammy Rudensick was born in 1972. She will be celebrating her 11th birthday on February 29th. What?
Hi, I'm Tammy Rudensick, and I'm a leap year baby.
Leap year happens only once every 4 years on February 29th. Babies born on February 29th have to wait 4 years before they see their next birthday on the calendar. About 200,000 people in the U.S. celebrate a birthday on February 29th. Around the world, there are about 5 million, says Reuters. Radencic is one of them. She lives in South Carolina. Radencic is not yet 50, but she has passed some other milestone birthdays, like 16, 21, and 30. Some birthdays come and go without much fanfare, but in a leap year, she says, the birthday is extra special.
For the leap year babies, you know, when you actually know that that day is coming and you're going to wake up and say, oh, today is actually my birthday, I'll tell you, it is a very special feeling. Unfortunately, this year, the 29th is on a Monday. I have a dentist appointment. I have calls with clients. So unfortunately, I'm not going to have anything that's, you know, really celebratory on the fact that I do have an actual birth date this year. But it still will certainly be very special to wake up and know, that today is actually my birthday.
The reason these people only get to celebrate the exact anniversary of their birth every 4 years has to do with the difference between the calendar year and the solar year. It takes the Earth about 365.25 days to circle the sun. So how do you factor in the extra quarter of a day? You add in an extra day every 4 years to catch up. That is where February 29th comes in. Sherry Riddle lives in New Jersey. She was born in 1968.
Okay, my name is Sherry Riddle, and I'm a leap day baby. I'm turning 12.
Riddle says she did not understand that something was different about her birthday until somewhere between her fourth and eighth year. She did know one thing. She had a bigger party for her fourth birthday than any of the years before. As an elementary school student, other kids teased her about not having a real birthday each year. That's one reason why her birthday was extra special every fourth year.
They had a bigger party for me that year, and I have pictures, and I remember that day. I remember things that happened that day. And I knew it was more special, but I didn't know why. And then for my eighth birthday, they had a bigger party again. Mostly it's been a really good experience.
Some people born on February 29th say the quirky birth date is not always easy. Radencic says her father tried to bribe the doctor with $200 when she was born. He wanted her birth certificate to read February 28th instead of February 29th. And the unique birthday does cause some headaches when it comes to filling out forms on computers or applying for official documents. Some computer programs that require dates are not set up for an entry of February 29th as the birthday. Radencic says for a while, her driver's license and birth certificate had different birth dates. She grew up in North Carolina, and that state did not let her put February 29th on her license. So whenever she had to travel to a place like Canada, where you did not need a passport, she would always get questioned at the border about the difference between the two documents.
It's really been problematic for me. And I know that those, you know, things may seem minor, but it's things that nobody ever would understand or even think you'd have to go through without having that particular birth date. So it's not been fun.
Everyone knows what it is like to get birthday wishes from friends on Facebook. The social media site reminds people that it is your birthday each year and you get a cascade of well wishes. But what if your birthday is February 29th? Radencic says on the off years, she does not get many birthday greetings on Facebook because the service does not send out a reminder. Only her true friends know it is her birthday. Janet Murphy of California has a 21-year-old granddaughter. She likes to joke that she and her granddaughter will be the same age this year. Murphy was born in 1932. When Murphy turned 4, she lived in Ohio. The local newspaper had a big party for leap year babies, and she attended. I wore a pretty blue dress that my great aunt made for me. I felt very special, Murphy says. My parents made me feel quite special every leap year. For many years, my mother sent my picture to be published in the local newspaper. It turned out to be a page full of happy faces celebrating each leap year. Murphy says she has enough good friends who help her celebrate her birthday on the last day of February every year. She plans to have 2 celebrations this year, one on Sunday and one on Monday. Since her name was sometimes in the newspaper as a leap year baby, a man who was on his way to serve in the Korean War found out about her in 1952. They became pen pal friends. Then 4 years later, Murphy received a special surprise from the man, 12 red roses. Heidi Herman lives in Arizona. She was born in 1968. She says she does not celebrate her birthday when it is not a leap year.
So, yeah, I'm very excited that there's an actual day for it.
This year, she will celebrate her birthday with a trip to the Grand Canyon. She is even more excited that in 2020, February 29th is a Saturday. So she will have an even bigger party that year. On her 2nd birthday, Herman says she understood her birthday was something special. In the United States, when people turn 21 years old, they like to have a big party. That is because a person is legally allowed to drink alcohol at 21. Their friends will take them out to a bar or restaurant to have a good time. Herman remembers what happened in her 21st year.
Every leaping would say their 21st birthday is difficult. I remember because mine, that I did go out to celebrate, obviously, because being 21. But my birthday is the last day of February, and I am adamant on that. You know, if you insist on celebrating, it's got to be the February 28th. I wasn't born in March. So I went out on February 28th, and half the bouncers had a good time about it, and they laughed and let me in. But a couple of them really gave me a hard time, and one of them said, fine, if you want to go to the back door and try it there, good luck with that. Otherwise, we can go ahead and call the cops. You know, they get a little harsh on some of that.
February 29th is not just for birthdays. Some people get married on February 29th, or they get engaged on February 29th. There is a legend that if a woman asks a man to marry her on February 29th, he cannot say no. People have their first dates on February 29th. Important moments in history happen on February 29th. Did you know Hattie McDaniel became the first African-American woman to win an Oscar for her performance in Gone with the Wind on February 29th, 1940? There are some small difficulties that come with being born on February 29th. But for the most part, these women do not mind. After all, for people like Herman, it is the only birthday they know.
I've never really had a problem with it. I've always felt like my birthday is super special.
I'm Dan Friedel.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.